Cheeky.
Oh, hello, Cheeky.
Hello.
Hello.
Buongiorno, Cheeky.
Hello, you flash kit.
Oh, hello, John.
Hello.
Hello! What a funny way to make a living.
Come on, Tim. Come on, not much farther now.
Come on. Another inch or two, we've got you. Come on.
Don't give up.
Come on, you can do it.
I'll never make it.
Of course you will now. Come on.
Come on, nearly, come on.
One last effort, Tim.
Well, that's got his trousers on.
Tim, why are you wearing such tight ones?
For the show.
I can see that.
Oh, what a relief, what a relief.
You all right?
Yes, as long as I don't have to move about at all. I'm locked.
Lift him up to the microphone, Barry.
Right.
That's better. When does the show start?
Starting?
Oh!
Ah! Ooh! Ladies and
gentlemen, hello, Cheeky.
It's the trousers. It's a mistake.
I think I can move a bit.
Which bit? I've heard of bell bottoms, but that's going too far.
Shut up.
Or you'll all be kept in for petticoat lying.
Come back. The government has announced that we must all tighten our belts and pull ourselves together.
Do you have to say that?
I'm sorry.
He's not going to last the show, you know. He's going to peter out.
He always does. As I was saying, the government has embarked upon a campaign of austerity, economy, and of facing up to harsh reality. We in Hello Cheeky have offered our services, and that is why we asked you here tonight.
That's better. In line with this swing to the left.
Chance would be a fine thing.
We intend to stress the grim facts of life as it is lived today. There will be no laughs in this next half hour.
They won't notice the difference.
Shut up, fatty.
I am no longer fat. Listeners may not be aware, unless they are watching in stereo, that I am now a mere shadow of my former self. I am a mere wisp.
A mere what? A wisp. That's an effeminate wasp. They're like ordinary wasps, but they give you a rather limp sting.
That's told you, Baldy.
I am no longer bald. Listeners may not be aware, unless they are exceptionally keen of hearing, that I am wearing a Harvey Headmaster. The hairpiece of the stars, available in 7 shades and ginger, but I'd rather not talk about that.
He sticks it on with aeroplane glue.
I do not.
Stand by for takeoff.
Shut up, Skinny.
Please. Oh, God, the pain. I think the lower half of my body has declared UDI.
Tim.
Oh, God.
There's nothing we can do about the trousers now, but can't you wear a jacket for the show?
I've got one, but my wife spilled her pipe ash all over it.
Ah, a smoking jacket.
No, a blazer. I managed to put the fire out, though. I used my drainpipe trousers.
And your water on the knee.
Good thing you were wearing pumps.
Wisp, an effeminate wasp. I must remember that.
Hi, fans. Dennis, why don't they give him his own show, King, here? Understandable, but hold it down, cats. I'd like to read you a selection of my fan mail.
Dennis, put that postcard down.
Dennis, may I have a word?
Trying to oil your way into my show?
Dennis, the BBC is cutting down.
Well, I'm only 5'5½".
Well, stand up. Oh, you are standing up. Every other inch a gentleman. I have been asked, Dennis... I have been asked, Dennis, to bring everything out into the open.
And the next line's been cut.
After this series, there will be no orchestra on this show.
What?
Barry, Tim and I have been issued with combs and papers and told to make our own arrangements.
They can't do this to me. Me? Me, what was the mastermind behind Des O'Connor's first release?
Have a care, sir. The police may be listening.
No, I meant his record.
So did I. Dennis. Dennis, this is the parting of the ways. I would just like to say how much we have appreciated all the work that you and Tony and Don have... I'm sorry, I can't go on.
Emotion?
No, the pages of my script are stuck together. It's that canteen tea, you know. Pygmies come here to dip their arrows in it.
I shall take over. Dennis, the controller of programs and Mrs. Wogan...
I didn't know... But I didn't know Terry Wogan was controller of programs.
He isn't.
But you said the controller of programs and Mrs. Wogan.
I know. Least said, soonest mended. Don't pry, for God's sake. Dennis, the top brass at the BBC...
What's she got to do with it?
No, no. They have decided to axe musicians.
Okay, plan B. I can do it on my own. I don't need the other two. I mean, Don's drums are always flat, and the strings came off Tony's bass 7 years ago. Nobody noticed. Show business is a jungle, lads. It's the weakest to the wall. No more Mr. Nice Guy. From now on, it's me. Me, me. Don't try anything. I'll crush you.
Dennis, you're redundant.
Oh, please, Mr. Brooke Taylor, I'll do anything.
Sorry, it's too late. We've been a team, nay, a family for some years now, and like all families, the time has come for the children, you, Tony and Don, to leave home and go out into the wide world and find your feet. It's not easy, heaven knows it's not easy, but these things are part of life, and so, brushing away a tear, may we bid you bon voyage, good luck, and try to think of us once in a while, because we'll be thinking of you.
Cobblers.
Hello Cheeky's personal column. I wouldn't use anything else, says Miss Lash of Old Compton Street.
Man wanted to operate digital computers and retroactive hydrodynamic pulsator reactors. No experience required.
Old age pensioner interested in brasses desires pair of antique knockers.
Ex-butlin redcoat requires new camp position. All inquiries dealt with in strict confidence.
Lady with wooden leg seeks engagements for novel strip act.
Max Bygraves wishes to hire singing voice.
Meanwhile, in a village church where the choir boys have just changed their vests in the pantry. Oh, I'm sorry. Have just changed their pants in the vestry.
Do you, Isabel Mary Bickerstaff, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Harold Arthur Williams, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
I now pronounce you totally confused.
By gal, Gladys, what a lovely couple.
Aye, and he's handsome too.
And now here is a little known recording of Miss Rachel Welsh singing I'm a Couple of Swells.
A little figure dressed in lace, a smile upon that sweet old face, a bonnet and a shawl of grey, your dress you've worn this many a day. You say that skirt should only show a glimpse of ankle there below, your dainty shoes with bows of blue. Let's face it, George, we're worried about you.
Peace, child. That will be the exorcist.
Good evening. I am the exorcist. Where is the child?
Here, Father.
Hello, my dear. Now, what the devil's got into you?
Now, look here, you two. I've got an idea.
Well, treat it gently. It's in a strange place.
I think I'm going to rub you out and draw you again. Why don't we do a round?
Why don't you do a round? Last time you bought a drink was at that coronation party.
And the next time was the night of the abdication.
Don't try that with me. I'm studying repartee at night school.
Go on, then.
Shut up. Oh. I'll start classes next week. Now, what I meant was, you remember the plot, listener? Why don't we sing a round?
A round what?
A round, you know, one of us starts singing something, then the second one sings the first line, while the first one's singing the second line, and the third one joins in the third line, but singing the first line.
It's sad when they go like this.
He's confused and rambling and all to pieces.
Yeah. It's no change when you think about it, is it?
Frère Jacques, dormez-vous, dormez-vous.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Frère Jacques, dormez-vous,
no.
Dormez-vous.
You've got to wait.
But I'm busting.
Well, Mr. Bustin, you've got to wait. Frère Jacques. Come on, Tim.
What?
I sing Frère Jacques and then you sing it after I've done the first line.
Oh, I see.
Frère Jacques, dormez-vous, dormez-vous. No. You sing the first line while I'm singing the second line.
And what do I do?
You sing the first line while I'm singing the third and Tim singing the second.
Ask a silly question.
Frère Jacques, dormez-vous,
dormez-vous, dormez-vous.
Where were you, Barry?
Here.
I got as far as doing me ding-dang-dong.
One of these days, they'll catch you at it, man.
When you hear Sonne Le Mattina, you come in with Frère Jacques.
I don't even know the man.
No, listen. Frère Jacques, dormez-vous,
dormez-vous, Sonne Le Mattina, Sonne Le Mattina, ding-dang-dong,
ding-dang-dong. Ding-dang-dong, ding-dang-dong.
What are you stopped for?
A fool on my own.
Well, that's the point, you see. When we get to the end, you're still singing. And we can, if you like, we can go round again. It's a lot of fun. I do it at parties.
So I've heard.
No, I didn't hear.
Hello. Tim here. There and everywhere, actually. I've been very fortunate lately, as you no doubt. I'm a goodie, and we've got a new series in the Funky Gibbon.
Hello, everyone. This is Jolly John. I'd just like to say that I've been doing As You Like It in the open air at Regent's Park. Damp, but fun.
I'm in pyjama tops at the Palace, Skegness.
Acting?
No, the Palace Hotel. I'm having a dirty weekend.
How disgusting.
No, not really. It's just that I didn't take a clean shirt.
Oh, my wife does all my shirts beautifully. She does Tommy Cooper and James Cagney and Dan LaRue as well.
She sounds a bit effeminate to me. I had a girlfriend who did impressions.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us about it, John. I'm fascinated if nobody else is.
Yes, I had this girlfriend who did impressions. We were in a car once and I said, take it off. And she did a marvellous impersonation of the car. It's affected our whole life.
How do you mean?
I can't get her started on cold mornings.
Meanwhile, on a cold morning, on a street corner, just opposite a bollard. It's all right, we're allowed to say it.
Hello, little boy. Dear, dear, does your mother know you smoke?
No, does your husband know you speak to strange men?
The part of the lovable urchin was played by Tim Brooke Taylor, whose voice has just broken.
That's a lie. Damn these trousers.
Now, over to the interview studio where Quentin Blott is talking to Gilbert Ferrell.
Good evening, Mr. Ferrell. You have a particular problem.
That is true.
Would you care to tell... would you care to tell our listener what your problem is?
I can't pronounce the letter after F.
G.
Exactly.
That is why you specifically asked me not to wish you good evening.
Good evening, yes.
Ah, well, when were you first aware of this problem?
I was brought up by my Iran mother, and even as a baby, I remember saying oo-oo.
Not goo-goo.
Precisely.
I see. That must have led to a very trying adolescence.
Oh, yes. I could never make it with earls.
I see.
So I spent many lonely hours at the cinema, my local Aumont, watching stars like Rita Arbo and Rhea Arson. And of course, my favourite, Edward Robinson.
Edward G. Robinson.
To you, probably. Then then I met Ertrude, my wife, and things improved. I was so proud on that day when I became her room.
We've traveled
the globe ever since. I think we must have Ipsy blood. We've met all kinds of people, a Spanish randee who showed us his... who showed us his rock, Arden. An Italian Iolo.
Iolo?
Iolo, yes.
Oh, gigolo.
Bless you. We used to sit with Giuseppe sipping from our lasses. He had his own rapes on the side of the hill, you know.
I see. Good. I mean, ood for him, yes, yes.
So, Ertrude prefers a quick in and tonic.
Yes, yes. changing or chain in the subject, Mr. Ferriel, where do you live now?
Ilford.
Ilford.
No, Ilford.
Oh, Guildford.
Exactly.
Ah, I see. In conclusion, in spite of your disability, what is your philosophy of life?
Well, I've no time for loom. I like to keep that old lint in my eye until my last asp. I'll stick at it like loo.
Ilbert Ferriel, good night.
Make up your mind, time. Let's have another look at some of the candidates for stardom we've had on the show tonight. First of all, excuse me, friends, little frog in the throat there.
What?
And I mean that. First of all, we had young Tim Brooke Taylor from Buxton up there in Granada land, and he went something like this.
Wisp, an effeminate wasp.
And as you can see, the old clapometer registered a pretty solid 3 for Tim from up there in Buxton. Nice work, Tim. You remember young Barry Cryer from Leeds? Time for a bit of the old e-by gum as we give you another chance to listen to Barry Cryer.
I'm in pajama tops at the Palace, Skegness.
And the clapometer nearly ruptured itself there, friend, with a score of 17.5 for Barry Cryer, the lad from Leeds. And now a second look at the talented troubadour from East Ham, John Junkin.
Bera Jaka.
Well, friends, that's an 85 for John, and that makes him this week's winner in the studio. But never forget, it's your votes at home that count. They really do. Send your postcards to us. That's New Faces, Patronizing Television, Boring Stiff, Mid-Atlantic, WC1N, 2PL. And if you can't remember the name of the act, just put rubbish on the card.
And now we pluck a plum from Dennis King's new album, Old Time Kosher Music Hall Hits. You can hear such tracks as Just Like the Oy Vey, Flanagan Schmanagan, and I Wouldn't Leave My Little Wooden Hut for You, But Make Me an Offer. But listen now to another blast from the past as Barry and the trio join Farces.
That should be Forces.
Oh, no, it shouldn't.
I'm always using paper clips, they are my pride and joy. I've loved my box of paper clips since I was just a boy. I clip my letters and my bills to make a pretty pair. And sometimes in emergencies I even clip my hair. But there's one thing that worries me when opening up a drawer. No matter how many clips I had, there's always several more. Paper clips are funny things, oh yes indeed. I swear that when they're on their own, the damn things start to breed. I keep them in a jam jar, or sometimes in a cup. But when I take them out again, I find they're all joined up. But still we must be tolerant, leave paper clips alone. It's their business if they like it, when they are on...
Well, I've heard a lot of songs in my time, and I must say, that was one of them.
Meanwhile, in the snug of the Duck and Pullet, just south of a bowl of nuts...
Here's your lager, Fred.
Ta.
Whoa!
What's the matter?
It's just warming some of the parts other beers cannot reach.
My name is Arthur Bladder. I have a strange story to unfold. When I have unfolded it, I will read it to you. It all began when my wife, Stuyvesant, and I decided to take a well-earned holiday in the West Country. We set off at 7 for Euston Station, and 6 hours later, thanks to British Rail, we were still at Euston Station. There was a notice saying there had been extensive hold-ups on the line to the West Country due to Dick Turpin. We took the 3:35 train to Thrippling Parva, but they made us put it back. We arrived as dusk was falling. Ho there, porter. Could you direct us to the local inn?
Oh, niddly dully trouble doody.
What does that mean?
Don't ask me. I'm daft as a brush.
Oh, really? Excuse me, sir.
Don't ask me. I'm his brush.
In desperation, Stuyvesant and I hopped onto a bus. She's got a wooden leg, you know. Polished elm, made from the deck of the Victory. We arrived at a quaint old country inn, the Cock and Wallet. Good evening, landlord.
Oh, Scradgel Dinkless the Wattle.
Is that by any chance your brother at the station?
Yeah, he's a brush. Ah.
Could you put us up for the night?
I can. But whatever he do, don't he go in room 13.
Why not?
We've only got 12 rooms.
Fungus Productions present So Long at the Cock and Wallet, a thriller in 8 parts and a brown paper parcel. Starring Norman St. John Stevens as Igor the Tall Dwarf, Nana Muscori as a bowl of mints, and Sid Lawrence and his orchestra as Ethel. Introducing Lena Martell. Again?
Written for the screen by a detective sergeant who wears ladies' dresses at home. No names mentioned, but we can speed through Walthamstow any time we like.
Based on the bestseller 25 Years with the Crabs by Jacques Cousteau. The producers would like to thank Joan the Wad for the good weather on location.
Well, Stuyvesant, what a pretty room. What side of the bed do you want to sleep on?
The top side.
Another one like that and I'll set fire to your leg.
Arthur, the eyes on that picture are moving.
That's the mirror, dear.
Oh. I can hear strange noises.
That's your stomach, dear.
I've got a funny feeling.
That's me, dear.
Arthur, we're married. Oh, Arthur. Arthur, there's something under the bed.
Well, that's a relief.
But it's moving towards us.
What will they think of next? Suddenly, it spoke.
Don't ye be alarmed. I'm a little potty.
With that, he jumped out of the window and I heard him shatter on the pavement.
Oh, that'll be all over.
We've done that joke in another program.
Sorry, we don't hear you in these distant parts.
We'll speak up in future.
Arthur, I'm hungry.
But you had a cheese roll at Christmas.
Nothing lasts forever.
Very well. I'll go downstairs and get you a slice of bread and a sticking plaster.
Why the sticking plaster?
When I come back, I may well punch you in the mouth. She gave a silvery laugh. So I kicked her wooden leg away and left the room. Little did I know what dramas we would undergo before we met again. And that was only the lift. I walked into the bar. Hello, landlord. Anything to eat?
No, thank you, sir. I've just had my supper. Will you be staying down here long, sir?
Why?
You're standing on my foot.
I purchased a slice of bread, put my hand down the barmaid's blouse, and went back upstairs. Stuyvesant, I...
Stuyvesant was gone. Apart from a 12-piece orchestra and 30 people doing the hokey-cokey, the room was empty. Have any of you seen my wife? Without a word, they all got into the wardrobe and drove north.
Evening, sir. I'm the night porter.
Where's the chambermaid?
Stoke-on-Trent.
Oh, no, we've got nerve.
I'm looking for my wife.
Oh, is this a proposal, sir?
No, the lady I came here with.
That's all right, sir. Your secret is safe with me. None of us are made of wood. Except your wife with her wooden leg.
What? Oh!
You caught me there, sir.
Where?
There.
I'm sorry, that must have been painful.
It was.
What do you know of my wife's disappearance?
Nothing. Except that she's been drugged, put in a cabin trunk, and is even now on her way across the ocean, where she will recover consciousness, dancing naked on a nightclub table in Buenos Aires. Or, on the other hand, she could be locked in the ladies.
Fortunately, his theory was correct. She had been sent to Buenos Aires in a trunk. But everything turned out all right, and the night porter and I have been blissfully happy for years, haven't we, darling?
Oh, aye, darling. Grindel, Nigel, Burn,
Sir Archie. And